This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the February 15th edition of Invest Talk. We're here to help you take your personal knowledge to a next level, to a higher level, to try to get you to understand how things work in the market. They are very confusing very often. But there is certain things that you can learn and understand and help you with your investments. So that's why we call this above average investing for the average investor. Now, one mistake the average investor makes all too often is letting himself get in over his or her head on one stock or even one sector too much, like the tech sector, for example. Now, we're going to recall one of the worst bubbles burst in history of the stock market today at some point. But, you know, you need to understand how to manage the portfolio of stocks, not just a stock. Oh, I like this stock and I like that stock. Yeah, well, you can like a lot of stocks, but it's got to be part of a plan. But first, let's zero in on you, your money, your life today. What money matter do you want to talk about? And let's get to our 24-hour listener line, 888-99-CHART. Here's a question that came in before today's program.
Hey, this is Chris from North Carolina. I called last week about kind of feeling too stupid to kind of approach the market. Anyway, I'm just kind of taking your advice and just kind of looking around and just trying to take in as much knowledge as I can. I've fallen in love with the podcast. I'm going all the way back to beginning of 2017, just, you know, kind of listening to your podcast, trying to soak in like a sponge all the knowledge you guys are putting out. A question that I do have, what are your thoughts on peer-to-peer lending? Like, if I just wanted to throw $1,000 in or $2,000 in, like, peer-to-peer lending, what are your thoughts on that, even for, you know, short or long-term or yes or no? Just curious what your thoughts are on that. Thanks a lot.
I actually have no problem with it, but you do have to be knowledgeable of what you're doing. You know, you have to trust the other party. If you trust them, then I have no problem with it. But I would, just like any other investment, do it with a small portion of your assets, not a big portion. If you lost all the money, how would you feel? That's how you have to look at it. If I lost all the money, would it change my life? Would I be so upset I couldn't never do it again? You know, those kinds of things are what you have to think about. In any investment that you're going to do, that's the kind of attitude you have to have. How is this going to affect you if you lost it all? Okay, especially if you take higher risk types of chances. And I consider peer-to-peer lending high risk. High risk. But no, I don't have a problem with it, but you have to be very knowledgeable with what you're doing. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Love to talk to you. Got a lot of things going on today. In an article today on U.S. News, writer Corianne Hicks introduced us to Will Goetzman. He's a professor and director of the International Center for Finance at Yale. He has spent much of his career studying stock market bubbles, the tech bubble of the late 1990s. Remember that? That was the dot-com bubble. And it's pretty famous, right? Everybody knows about it. I lived through it. I don't know if you were around and lived through it, but many of you had. It was all about people jumping on the tech wagon and not looking anywhere, not looking at anything. Just that if it had .com in the name, you bought it. Everybody got crazy about it. It was a mania. And I was on the radio. Jerry Klein, my mentor, was on the radio, and we were doing it together in early 2000, just late 1999, early 2000. And we were saying we can't understand why people are so excited about these dot-com companies that have no way to make money. And by the way, we were ridiculed about that. We didn't know. We didn't understand that. We were too old. We didn't understand the new way of doing business. You know, it all comes back to economics. Do they make money, and can they grow their money? Now, Goltzman says people can't resist the lure of new technology. But perhaps to the greater economic good, new technologies is great. This is big picture stuff he was talking about. Investors were willing to put their money into any new technology back then. Didn't matter. Now, there were some companies that did very, very well coming out of the dot-com, and I'll name one, Amazon. Amazon was there. That was a brand new company back then, losing all kinds of money, but it had a business plan where most dot-coms didn't. It had a future that it could see to make money. And that's the whole conclusion of Goltzman, is whether your investments are actually going to realize economic benefit with their innovations, make money. So, if there are 10 companies offering revolutionary technology, one or two could become Amazon or eBay, but eight will likely go out of business. Eight of them. Most of them will go out of business. You'll have the one huge winner, one or two huge winners. Remember that the next time everybody starts going crazy. How about cryptocurrency? How about that? So if you want to invest in a mania, the best way to mitigate the risk is to limit your investment to 3-5% of your portfolio. That's it. That's how you do it. So what are you going to explore today? What do you want to talk about? How to create trading plan and manage risk. Talk about that all the time. That's going to be our main talking point today. Plus, I want to discuss bullish sentiment, AAII, American Association of Independent Investors. They have sentiment. They check their members all the time and come up with sentiment numbers. Do you know where we are now? And why gold and other commodities aren't soaring on inflation news? Shouldn't they be? There was a study about it. We'll go over that too. And the real reason stock market investors are worried about bond yields. Why are stock market investors worried about bond yields? Remember, that's been kind of inflation and bonds have been kind of the excuse for this correction, even though I think it's just that it was overdue and needed one. The market was up today. This is like the fifth day in a row. So it's depending on which index, if we talk about the Dow, it's crawled back about 50% of its losses. The Dow was up 306, the NASDAQ up 113, and the S&P up 33. So that's where the market, 5 days in a row up after some pretty steep down correction territory, 10%. That's a normal correction, 10%. The abnormal part was how fast it was. Now, I've told you before, and I'm going to say it again, it is very common to retest the lows. Very common to retest the lows before the market breaks up to new highs. So don't get scared when that happens. Don't get too excited about this bounce. It's a good bounce on, you can buy here and there. Just be very careful. I would love to see a retest myself. That would give me a lot more confidence on the next leg up. This is Invest Talk, everybody. I'm financial writer Steve Peasley. Researchers have found that what people care about most is not their own wealth alone, but rather how their wealth measures up to that of their peers. Not too smart, is it? Would you admit to that? I don't know if I would. I don't think I am that. But that's what a lot of people worry about. It's called keeping up with the Dow Joneses, I guess. We're open to whatever's on your mind, any money topic, 888-99-CHARTERS, how you can get through.
Hey guys, Clay from Baltimore. Thanks so much for the show. I was hoping you could take a look at Valero Energy, symbol VLO. I've been in it for over a year now, and just wondering if I should take some profits or let it ride. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, it's done very nice over that year. It's 65 a year ago. It got up to 97, fell down to 85 or 86 in the correction. Now it's at back to 93. So Valero, VLO is a symbol engaged in refining and marketing of fuels and other petrol products in the United States, Canada, Aruba, UK. They're going to make $7.39 this year after making only $4.96 last year. So it's really a nice 40% increase. Next year, they're going to go up another 8. And because of that, you know, the stock went up nicely. It pays a 3.4% dividend, which is still pretty good for moving up so far, so much. The P/E ratio is a bit high for this stock. The range is 6 to 20 in the last 5 years and is at 19 now. And remember, it's a $93 stock. It's going to make $7.95. So that means that P/E is going to come down. And the cash flow is huge, so you don't have a problem with that. And sales have been increasing sharply in the last four, five, six quarters. So this is a good stock to own. I don't know if I would sell it. I don't know if I would sell it. Now, make sure you have it for at least a year because you don't want to have short-term capital gains. You want to make sure you have long-term capital gains. It's going to go, it could very, it retest the high about 97.50 or so. I could see it retesting that high, just like the market retesting its high, and then come down again. If you were anxious to get out, yeah, you'd probably get out while it's had three or four good five straight up days. This would be the time to go ahead and take your profits if you wanted to get out. If you want, but this is a good, you know, it's a $40 billion company. It's a good long-term blue chip kind of stock that you could hold on to until at least the economics of the world start to slow down in the United States, because, you know, demand for oil is not going down. It will probably go up. Probably is going to go up. Now, the supply is going up faster, and that's an issue. But I do like it still. It's just a little expensive now. You could sell it and try to buy it back at a cheaper point if you wanted. 888-99-CHART. So how do you build a portfolio? How do you manage it? You need to have a plan. Everybody needs to have a plan, even though your plan is save money and invest. That's not a good plan. One of the things you should realize, whether you're young, old, doesn't matter, is what is the purpose of your investments? Is the purpose to grow the money? Now, don't say, yeah, I'm going to grow my money. That's my plan. Okay. The purpose is, why are you growing the money, and at what stage are you going to need the money? Okay, so if you're saying my purpose is to invest for retirement, how much money are you going to need in retirement, and how much do you have to save or invest to get there? Over what time frame? And how much money can you afford? But compare how much money you can afford with how much money you're going to need. And you can do, it's math, people. It's not science. It's not rocket science. It's math. Okay, I need $100,000 in retirement per year. How are you going to achieve that $100,000 or $200,000 or whatever it is? And you need to understand what kind of risks that you're comfortable with. And then you have to decide after that what you're going to invest in. It's a plan. You put it together on paper and say, what am I going to do? It's just not, I'm going to save as much as I can, as fast as I can. Well, for why? What are you doing? Where's your goal? You know, maybe your plan is, I want to do it through income. That's a different approach. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. Remember, disciplined investors can overcome the kind of mistakes that befall everyone sooner or later. Guessing wrong or going down the wrong path, mistakes are part of the equation, everybody. You have to expect them to happen. Your goal is to make them small, those mistakes. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Ryan from Pennsylvania, podcast listener. My question today is about Sabra, S-B-R-A, the healthcare REIT. Wanted to see if that was one that you would buy or have on your watch list or own. And what a good purchase price would be. Thanks, and I'll listen on the podcast.
Yeah, I like Sabra Healthcare. It's one of the other health REITs that I've been looking at for some time. Sabra is out of Irvine, California. It's a REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust, that owns 177 healthcare-related properties in 38 states. The problem with Saba is their earnings is stagnant. That's the problem you have. But the stock price has come down so far that it's making it very attractive. They're still making money. They're making good money. They're going to make, for instance, 2016, they made $2.48 a year. 2017, $2.45, 3 cents less. And then 2018, this year, they're scheduled to make 4 cents more, $2.49. The stock is $16.51 per share. And that means that if it pays 90% of its earnings in the form of a dividend, which it has to be a REIT, that the dividend yield is going to be about 10%. I kind of like that. Now, that the, as I said, the problem is stagnation of earnings and sales up until the most recent quarter also were stagnating. Sales in the recent quarter jumped sharply. The most recent quarter, and the most recent quarter is September. They haven't reported a year end yet. It was up like 80% or so for that quarter over a year ago. But before that, sales were kind of tailing off. So I can tell you this, it looks like a really good price right now at $16.51. It's the last 4 or 5 days, it's moved sideways and was up nicely 3% today. I'm giving it more time. I want to see it break above maybe a 10-day or a 20-day moving average before I really would be interested in buying it. I would like to see some strength come in. But fundamentally, it looks inexpensive. SBRA is the symbol, everybody. SBRA. Let's go to Ruby in Santa Clara. How you doing, Ruby?
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. This is regarding the stock symbol, Teva Pharmaceuticals. Recently, the Buffett also picked up the stock. What is your opinion on this at the current price?
Okay, well, Teva Pharmaceuticals had a lot of problems, and they kept falling all last year. When the market was going up, Teva was going down. I thought it bottomed because it started to go sideways right around $30 last year, and that's when I bought the stock for my clients, and it kept falling. So I got out before it bottomed, and then it finally bottomed at around $12. Today it's at $20.81. Yesterday, Warren Buffett came out. Did you hear that, Ruby, about Warren Buffett buying Teva?
Yes. That's the reason I picked up some stocks, so I would like to know your opinion. Yeah.
I think it's a pretty darn good buy at this point. They're going to make $2.91 next year after making $2.55 this year, but they made $4.01 last year. I think they have put in a bottom. I think the dividend, they cut it, but it's a 5 PE, 5. It's a $20 stock going to make $3 a share. So, I think, what does that make the PE 7? Now, so I think it's very inexpensive, and it's the world's largest generic drug maker out of Israel. It's a $21 billion company. It's not small. They're not going out of business. And so I think it's a good buy, Ruby. I do. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Teva, T-E-V-A is the symbol. Temis Pharmaceuticals, largest generic drug maker in the world. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Did you... see what Bitcoin traded at today? It broke 10,000, moving back up. Remember, it got down pretty far, down to 7. Now it's good. Boy, oh boy, if you like a roller coaster ride, that would be Bitcoin. I wouldn't buy it. I would never buy it because I don't know how to evaluate it. If you want to know the truth, I don't know how you evaluate it. I can't figure that out. Now, when most people, time for Invest Talk Personal, everybody. When you draft a will, most people think about the things that have value, like houses, IRAs, 401ks, bank accounts, jewelry, cars, boats, art, all that kind of stuff. Rarely do they think about their email and social media accounts. No one thinks about that. Now, that might be considered odd, huh? If you don't have an email address these days, some would make the same argument about not having Facebook. I don't have one. While these things do not have a dollar amount attached to them, like your IRA, they do have present potential problems for those who may want or, more importantly, need to get access to them. You have to have that in your will. Who gets access to that kind of information? Because there might be stuff there that's important or stuff that you don't want other people to see. Coming up next on Invest Talk, can you invest like Warren Buffett? Should you? That's one of our topics on the next Invest Talk. For now, you can drive the discussion. My live line is between 4 and 5 Pacific Time, 888-99-CHART.
Our Invest Talk podcast continues. One of KPP Financial's solutions that helps solve today's retirement puzzle is our balanced income portfolio. How do you get the income you need in retirement without the kind of risk that you don't feel comfortable with? That's what this program is all about, the balanced income portfolio from KPP Financial. And remember, as with each KPP program, the principals at KPP are invested right along with you. Would you like to know more about it, the balanced income portfolio? You can call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts, or you can ask Steve about it directly. Just click on the Contact Steve button on investtalk.com. Now let's get back to the podcast. This is Invest Talk, software to help you manage your money. You've heard of Quicken. Maybe you ruled it out. Too complex. Not everyone wants a boatload of features. So did you know there are multiple Quicken versions? Do you use Quicken? Want to share your experiences? Steve's number is 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Justin or Steve. My name's Mike from Denver. I had a question about what I should do with my extra income that I have. So right now I'm currently maxing out my 401k and my Roth IRA. So that's $23,500 a year per work. I'm 31 years old, so I feel like that should carry me into retirement at that rate. I've been putting about $10,000 a year into individual stocks, and I've been doing pretty high risk. So I want to know if you guys thought that was a poor idea, if I should just stay safe, or if you think at my current retirement rate that I'm contributing that it'd be okay to take a little higher risk. And if so, if you guys had any suggestions on markets to look at that might be rising over the next 10, 15, 20 years, thanks for any advice. I look forward to hearing your answer. Bye-bye.
Okay, well, at 31 years old, I think that's what he said, you stay with the high-risk stuff because you'll do well as long as you stay with it until you get into your 50s. Then you start thinking about, managing more of the risk that you're taking. But at a young age, you want to take the risk. That's where you should be. And I cannot, by the way, SEC rules say I cannot make recommendations just out of the air. I can answer questions about any stocks or sectors, but I can't say, I think you should be in this sector, or you should be in this stock or that stock. It's just not possible. I will say this. There's a book out there, and I've recommended it before, called Create Destruction. And over the next 10, 20 years, artificial intelligence is going to be very, very important. Robotics are going to be very, very important. I can't wait till the self-driving cars. So you want to stay in the technologies that are up and coming and destroying old technologies, and stay out of those old technology stocks and look for the new technology stock. Now, technology in the old days could have been a better way to make steel, right? I mean, these days, technology is high-tech stuff, right? So that's where you want to kind of concentrate if you're willing to take a lot of risk. Now, make sure you understand that that is a very risky area, very risky area. So if you're comfortable with that risk, fine, take it. But just be aware of what you're doing. My job here is just to make you aware of the dangers and how to manage some of the pitfalls that you'll come across. And I cannot, unless I'm sitting down with you, I can't say specifically how much risk you should take, where you should invest, what it's going to be like, and Yeah, you know, I can't because I don't know you individually. I have to know you first. Anyways, a bullish sentiment has rebounded. Bullish, you know, because it was already high. Then it fell pretty sharply. But now it's already rebounded. And it's only a week later. Unusually high levels, according to the American Association of Independent Investors, who track their members and their bullish sentiment. They actually have numbers, and we know exactly what the numbers are, and it's very high. When it gets very high, that usually is a contrarian signal, and this is one of the reasons why I think this just supports my belief that we'll have a double bottom at some point. I just can't tell you exactly when that's going to happen, but I think it's going to be sooner than later. I mean, within the next month or two, at least. Let's see, what is it? We're February, March? Yeah, I would say. But just so you know, bullish sentiment is pretty darn high. 888-99 chart. Let's talk about gold and other commodities. Why hasn't gold and other commodities soared during this fear of inflation? You have inflation fears out there because, remember, this is inflation was kind of pointed out as a reason for the correction, even though I'm still not convinced that that was the reason. Well, there was a study done, and it said that inflation and commodities are not really correlated. Now, they went on to say, but there are a certain commodity or two that are correlated, and one of them is energy. If we have inflation, energy prices go up. Okay, but other commodities are more attached to the economic cycle. In other words, if the economy is growing, if the world economy is growing, there's a lot more pressure on commodities to go up in price. Therefore, commodity stocks generally do well in a surging economy. Now, we really haven't had that happen yet, which is kind of surprising. It's kind of surprising because I'm expecting it to happen. Commodity prices go up because there's been very little investment in expanding commodities over the last few years because we have plenty of them. But now that the world economy is starting to get on track and starting to grow faster, I'm thinking that maybe we'll see some fundamental demand increase. We'll see. We'll see. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We have an award-winning system that can help you determine your optimum level of risk. We've talked about it many times. What it does is assigns a risk number. After you answer just a few series of questions, like three, four, five questions, it's pretty simple. Then if you like, we can then take that number. This is a risk score from between 0 and 100. We can take that number and then help you determine if your current retirement portfolio or your investments match your risk, personal risk number. You may find that the current investments are too conservative for you or maybe too aggressive. Don't know. But it will help you try to determine, you know, if you're taking enough risk, not too much, not too little, and make sure that if the next fall in the market or next increase in the market fits what makes you feel comfortable. You'll be comfortable with it. You're not panic in or panic out. So you can give it a try. It's free on investtalk.com.
Do you know the difference between term life and whole life or universal life? When you sign up to be an InvestTalk Insider, you gain instant access to an entire library of info sheets, each one prepared by the KPP staff to be informative and straight to the point. Plain talk about important money matters, and it's completely free. You can check it out right now on investtalk.com.
Hey, Steve or Justin, it's Mike calling from Tampa, Florida. I was just wondering if we could compare two healthcare REITs, OHI, Omega Healthcare, and Welltower, HCN. HCN looks particularly promising to me. I was wondering if we could just take a look and compare the two. HCN is trading at a five-year low. It's PE range and on a chart. It's also trading on a low. And it seems to me that the sales are going up year to year. You could just tell me, please, which one is better and what would be a good entry point of either. I'll look for the answer on the show. Thanks a lot.
Okay, well, we own OHI. I think I've talked about it the last couple of days when people ask about it. HCN is Welltower Inc., REIT that invests in healthcare and senior housing facilities. $20 billion company, so it's a large cap. They're going to make $4.24 in 2017. We haven't got the numbers yet. That's down from $4.54. And then $4.15 next year. So it's going to go down 7% and then down another 2%, okay, in earnings. So that is a bit concerned, and I would like to see that go up. And that kind of matches Omega Healthcare, OHI. Their earnings are going to go up 2% next year. So it's kind of on par. Because of this, this area of the market have fallen sharply, and they're all bottoming, I think. All of them are doing that. Return on equity of HCN is 5%. Return on equity at OHI, by the way, it's hard for me to compare this because I got to switch back and forth, is only 3%. So you can argue that HCN, from some of the fundamental numbers, looks stronger than Omega Health. So HCN, let's take a look at some more comparisons here. Okay, very similar book value. They're, you know, a lot of things are similar. The dividend yield for Welltower is 6.3%, and for OHI, remember, when you buy these things for the dividend, is 10.2%. So everything looks pretty darn close, except the dividend yield is higher on Omega Health. So that. The main reason why we picked it is we're living on the dividend yield and these kinds of things. Okay, OHI and HCN, both in the same area, the healthcare facilities area, hospital, long-term care, that kind of stuff. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, what is the real reason that stock market investors are worried about bond yields? The conventional wisdom is that bond traders are smarter than investment traders. Did you know that, by the way? That is the conventional wisdom. And so the investors in stocks watch the bond market pretty close. So do I, by the way. We watch it pretty close. And I've told you that bonds have been falling for 6 months. And the stock market's been going up over that period of time, except for just recently. Okay, but why then all of a sudden, bonds are falling for a long time, but the market, the stocks didn't fall with the bond market. Usually they do go up and down in tandem. They usually do that. And the reason is that most people believe that, not most, but a lot of people believe that the market fell based on what happened with bonds. Well, what happened with bonds? I mean, what was the problem with bonds? And the real adjusted interest rate changed. When I say real, I'm talking about the yield after you take in consideration inflation. All of a sudden, inflation picked up, even though interest rates were rising. But inflation picked up, and therefore the real rate of return changed and scared everybody. Okay, so the real yields rose to their highest level in several years. The 5-year real yield rose to 0.74%, double what it was at the beginning of the year, this year, double what it was. Yeah, problem. For, you know, stocks, they usually wouldn't, because stocks tend to rise along with real rates as growth expectations heat up. You know, you think they're going to grow because the earnings and sales are going to grow. But analysts are sounding the alarm. They're a little worried because the tax cut, that's going to boost the economy, And then now you're talking about infrastructure spending. That's going to boost the economy. Isn't that going to overheat the economy when we're already seeing full employment and we're already seeing some inflation come? And so we haven't even got the results or the effect of the tax cuts or the effect of the infrastructure spending. So, isn't that going to cause much more inflation in the future? That's the fear. That's the theory of the fear anyways. And it's probably true. You know, you got to remember that even if it's not true now, just because many, many people or everybody thinks it's going to happen, it will probably happen. We make things happen just by our belief. You don't believe me? Well, look at history. It is true. If we think something's going to happen, we make it happen. It's very common. Anyways, we're here to help you. Beginner Experienced Investor, 888-99-CHART. That's our anytime number you can call.
Hi, Steve or Justin. This is Patrick from North Carolina. Love the show. I had a question. I was looking at the stock Kelly Services, KLYA. It looks to be a pretty good value right now, considering buying a small portion of it for my portfolio. I wanted to get your thoughts. I'll take mine off the air. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay, K-E-L-Y-A. K-E-L-Y-A. I got to punch them all in here. Kelly Services, okay, that provides full and part-time professional and technical staffing. It is a $1 billion company. It's small. They're going to make $2.70 next year. This year, they're going to make $2.35. Last year, they made $2.24. And they've been making more and more money for the last 5 or 6 years. So, you know, 5 to 10% growth is pretty solid. In recent quarters, you're getting 5 to 10% sales growth, too. Now, the stock, return on equity is only 8%. That's kind of miserly. I like my return on equities to be in the teens. Management owns 9%. Mutual funds are slowly buying over the last year. And the stock, excuse me. I'm looking at the chart and I'm thinking, it's been moving sideways since November. And I see no reason for it to go higher. There's no catalyst for it to go higher. We have full employment, and they provide employees, so they should do well. I mean, the economy is strong, but I wouldn't buy it. There's nothing there that tells me it pays 1% dividend. It's just not exciting enough. There's no really reason to buy this stock. 888-99-CHART. Check in right now. This is Invest Talk. Let's go to Mark in San Francisco. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, Steve. Great show.
Thank you.
You met with my daughter about 4 years ago or something, and she had zero in her IRA. And now she's got a nice big chunk, and she's got a big smile on her face.
And I think you came in with me, right? You and her, and I remember.
Yeah,
I remember her. I did.
Was
she in high school then?
I said, "Hey, you got to talk to her now." And I'm leaving. So it worked out pretty good.
Good for her.
Anyway,
glad to hear that.
Talking about yields and everything, and I remember Jerry. You know, years and years ago, whatever. He said TBT is going to be the mother of all buys. Is that today now? What do you think?
Yeah, I think he was talking about now, after all these years of the interest rate falling, 30 years of the interest rate falling, and finally, TBT, by the way, everybody, is a ProShares ultra-short 20-year treasury. So if interest rates rise, remember, it's the ultra-short. It goes the opposite directions of what normally happens. So if interest rates rise, this will rise. So I think, just to let you know, back in 2011, this thing was at 166 points. That was 2011. Today's 38. Yeah, I think it's going higher. I really do, Mark.
All right. Okay. Two buys into it.
Appreciate the call.
Keep looking at it. Thanks, Steve.
Okay. Thank you for the call. That's TBT, everybody. Understand what you're buying, though. Make sure you understand. Let's go to AB in San Francisco. How you doing?
Hey, Steve.
AB?
Nice show.
How you
doing? Hey, Steve. Nice show. Quick question on GE, General Electric. Uh-huh. Need to understand exactly what's going on with the stock, and is there, can we see any upside momentum on that stock? And if time permits,
I do, actually.
Something about
Teva. Yeah, I actually do like the GE at this point. I mean, if you're ever thinking about dogs of the Dow, this is really a dog, right? I mean, dogs of the Dow, that the strategy tells you to buy the worst performing stocks with the highest yield. Well, GE might fit that perfectly. It yields 3.2%. They're going to make, they lost 51 cents a share in 2017. They're going to make 96 cents this year and $1.06 next year as a $14.85 yeah. stock. So that's about a 14 PE. So yeah. Your question is GE management finally going to turn around the company? They had that $4 billion company they sold a number of years ago. They're still bleeding there. So that really hurt it just recently. That's what tanked it recently, was that charge. But I do think most of the bad news is behind them. So I kind of like GE at this price. It's a little bit higher risk, even though it's a $128 billion company. It's not I doubt it's going to go out of business. So it's a matter of, you know, is this cheap enough? And I kind of think it might be cheap enough right in this area. Okay?
Okay.
AB, yeah. appreciate the call. Thanks for listening. Thank you. Okay, why are so many Americans, why do they stay poor? Poor. Why many Americans stay poor? Not so many Americans, but why many Americans stay poor? They remain in low-wage jobs. Why? Why is that the case? I mean, the United States probably has one of the most versatile upward mobility possibilities for your poor people. You can educate yourself, you can do things to get you out of that cycle. But that's why it takes ambition to improve your prospects. Remember, thinking of yourself as a product. I tell my nieces and nephews, the young people growing up, so thinking of yourself as a product. Now, what kind of product are you going to be out there in the marketplace? Are you going to be in a high-demand product, or are you going to be, you know, low-demand product? That means you have to make yourself that product that people want to hire. So you need to develop skills or education or whatever it is, whatever you want to do, it's up to you. And I think most people don't have that kind of ambition to do that. Time to wrap it up. A reminder, my next San Jose day for individual meeting with our listeners is March 14th. If you'd like to reserve your hour with me, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. I hope it's been a worthwhile hour for you. Justin Klein and I want to thank you for making me part of your day. And let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken. Statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president and Justin Klein, chief executive officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.